know there's plenty of ghosts in society, but the scariest of all the ghosts are the ghosts that run the shadow government. You've tuned into Ghostly Talk. I'm Michael Trudeau from Colonial Resources.
Little tutorial in GHI. We're gonna teach you what to do when you first see a ghost. Okay? We're gonna look for a ghost, and then if we see one, we're gonna do the right steps of action afterwards. So, you know, you wanna be calm, you don't wanna do anything stupid, you wanna sit there, say your prayers or whatever, make the ghost go away, ask the questions maybe. But whatever you do, you can't scream, you cannot run, you can't do anything like that. It's only going to make it worse. And it's not like you're going to outrun them, because they'll follow you wherever you go. So let's do it. Let's go. Follow me. This is the Church of the Damned, where it's known haunted. Very, very, very haunted. Books have been thrown, people have been thrown. And hopefully tonight we get some action. Very creepy. There's no lights anywhere in here, so if you have a flashlight, you'd be good, which we don't, so that sucks. And windows, cracked windows, very nice, beautiful. That sucks. And we're just gonna look around here. I'm just gonna stop right here and then a little bit. Is anyone here? It's good to ask some questions.
Nick, check out that. Look at this corner. Look at the corner over there.
Corner.
No, over there. We'll be right back.
studying and researching the paranormal for 10 years. She co-hosted and co-produced The On the Road Ghost Show, a New England cable-based program exploring the paranormal, including ghosts, residual hauntings, and even UFOs. Heather has had the honor of working with paranormal expert John Zaffis in Salem, Massachusetts, and has taken mediumship workshops with John Holland, as well as Robert Brown. She holds a Master of Communication from Emerson College in Boston, and currently is a holistic healer, Reiki practitioner, and ghost lover extraordinaire. Heather also is a blues musician, performing and singing in the New England area. She has an extremely bubbly personality, and I hope she comes across to everybody as lively and bubblicious as she has.
See how she couldn't
on the break while we were getting her on the phone. I don't have her website, so we'll have to mention that separately.
Yeah.
Heather Lambert, besides your last name, happens to be the same as our co-host Scott L. Welcome to Ghostly Talk.
It's great to be here, everyone. Thank you.
You know, I have to say, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I
stopped all over you. God, I'm such a jerk.
Evil death beast.
I'll beat him.
I am the evil death beast, and you seem like to be like the shining beacon of light here.
Yes.
I'm attempting to be so. I am, you know.
And you
shine as the beasties.
Tell me about the On the Road Ghost Show. How did that go? What was it like? Who did you work with? Everything. I want to know all about it right now.
Oh, you do are very cool. Very, very cool. Well, you know, I'll back up a little bit. I will tell you that the whole idea from it came from growing up in Marblehead, Massachusetts, which is a steeped in the paranormal. Okay? So the paranormal was all around me growing up. And, you know, I think that I grew up in a house that I think was haunted. It was on the site of an old railroad station, and we had strange occurrences going on in that place all the time. And that's where sort of it whetted my appetite to go on to this on-the-road ghost show.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we're all talking here like we're at a bubbler, you know? This is kind of how the ghost show began.
Mm-hmm.
Is that there were like-minded friends around me who had all had pretty paranormal experiences. You know, whether it was seeing full-blown apparitions, hearing things, you name it, having the wits scared out of them. And we decided to sort of get together. And one of my, you know, who ended up being a co-producer was a videographer and also had done a show on Nantucket. And so we all got together and sort of explored what each of us could offer and bring to the table. We had historians, we had paranormal, I don't know, interested people, we had psychics, and we came together, and we started this cable show on a shoestring, basically.
Wow.
And what was the, like, growing up around and having these paranormal things happen, and evidently you're acquaintances and friends had interesting things happen as well. Otherwise, you know, how'd you get together in the first place? What was the general reaction of most people in your life? Were they shocked? Were they happy? Were they like, oh, well, yeah, that's part of being here in New England is the ghosts. I mean, how did other people see you guys when you started this off?
Excellent question. Okay, I think there were a few factions. There was the diehard believers who were all coming up to us in the supermarket once the show aired, especially, saying, hey, I've got a ghost story for you. There was a lot of enthusiasm. Because, again, growing up in Marblehead, which is right next to Salem, Massachusetts, you know, you have a lot of people that already have been exposed to the paranormal and are pretty comfortable with it. You know, had a huge Wiccan community in Salem. So they were all cool with that. They said, oh, great, into a program. Good for you. Then you had the skeptics. Usually they were the old fishermen that said, you're just telling us a bunch of baloney.
They were Irish fishermen, obviously.
Now, she...
Irish fishermen, yeah, they were Irish...
Now, you do a
she
wonderful
does the accent
Irish
good.
Accent.
Yeah, I like the Irish accent, but yeah, I got to have... have it, you know.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Oh, don't be jealous, honey. You can learn it. You can learn it.
Oh, I don't know.
It's easy to learn.
All I know is when I try to do the Jamaican accent, I sound like a drunk Irishman. Yeah, so I guess I just have to go for one and I get the other, you know.
Oh, I think it's great. I think it's great, the fact that you're even attempting it. I'm just going to put it out there. Yeah, but no, seriously, we had all different people, but I think if anything, there was an interest. There was a buzz being generated. And also the fact that we had no money, nothing, and we were producing and co-hosting, we were writing our own commercials to pay for it. And, you know, so it was basically very grassroots.
Hey!
So, you know, hey, sound familiar? I mean, you know
yes,
how it is.
Does.
You start out small and you grow,
mm-hmm.
right?
What's happened since? Why is it still on? Do you still do it? Did you drop the project?
We ran the project for 2 years. And then we had, basically it was logistics, we had my co-producer moved away.
Mm.
I moved on into Reiki healing, doing more into the mediumship, studying with a whole bunch of those cool people that you mentioned in my bio,
mm-hmm.
like Robert Brown and John Holland. But it was wonderful. In fact, I had even pitched it. This is one of those stories. The wrong timing. You know, people say, oh, it's all about the right timing. I had the wrong timing. I had actually called the Sci-Fi Channel and pitched it. And they said, oh, we don't really think anyone would be interested in that. We're sorry.
Oh.
And now we have, you know, this explosion, you know, when it's great to see with TAPS and Ghost Hunters
mm-hmm.
doing so well. But initially, you know, I pitched that years. That was a while ago. And they had said, oh, no, we just don't believe that would generate much interest. Well, it has. It was a good idea.
It definitely was a good idea, but you're right. In that particular field, you do have to be at the right place at the right time, and the right ears have to hear the idea.
That's it.
Well, nowadays, you've got so many more avenues than just TV. And I know I say just TV. I say just TV like it's like this, but I mean, I know TV is huge, and I know that everybody's got, you know, 1 to 10 or whatever, and everyone's got cable or satellite, and everyone watches Ghost Hunters, and,
right.
and but, excuse me, but I think
you
that,
okay?
Yeah, I'm good, but I think that, like, for
his
example,
lung just came out of his mouth, actually, to stuff it back down there.
I was preening the alien baby and got a hairball. So anyway, wait till these pictures go on the internet. They're going to be like, but what happens is now we've got YouTube, we've got MySpace. We've got all these great resources. We've got iTunes with the video iPad.
My Paraspace, another great site.
We've got
too,
My
yeah.
Paraspace. We've got these amazing websites that everybody goes to for these phenomenal things. If you've got a video project, two things. And here's the thing. I've been thinking about this. And I'm like,
yeah.
Man, I wish I had a video project. I don't. I've got, you know, an audio project. But that's okay. You know, we get out there. But the video projects really have it going now because they've got YouTube and they've got the video podcasts with the iTunes. And, so what's up with that? What about why couldn't a project like your former project be taken up again and put out there on the iTunes or the the video iTunes or the YouTube kind of thing going on and just be a raving success.
You know, it's so funny because you mentioned that, and that is my goal, that is my wish, is to resurrect it. You know, and that's what I intend to do because we had some wonderful footage, and I've generated some interest. I moved from Massachusetts to New Hampshire,
mm-hmm.
where I'm sort of, you know, again, sort of meeting with a whole new group of people, of paranormal interested people, with the hope and prospect of starting the On the Road Ghost Show again and using those avenues, because you're right. I mean, it's just exploded. Technology, it's been such a blessing for projects such as ours, mm-hmm. you know? It's incredible.
I'll tell you what. Here, I'll make you a deal.
Okay, make me a deal.
Get it going.
Okay.
Do a couple of episodes. I don't care if it's 2 or 4 or 10. A few episodes. And I'll write whatever emails or whatever letters I have to. Just send me an email address. Say, write this person a recommendation or write this person a thing. And I will send out recommendations from my email address, which is hardly ever used.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I'll give it a gung ho thumbs up, whatever it takes, to see if it'll attract any interest, because I think your show needs to happen. Thank you, but I think it needs to happen. I really do.
I think so too. No, I think so too. You know how it's one of those things that, well, it's like anything. You have something. You have a passion, and if you put it in the back burner too long, you get sad because you want, you know, that's your passion. It's something you want to share,
mm-hmm.
and you want to get out again. That would be wonderful. Well, I'm going to take you up on that offer. I gleefully accept.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad. I'll do anything I can to help you get that project going again, because I would love to see it.
Yeah, well, what it's all about to us, Heather, and I know this for a fact, is that, you know, we push for as many media entities out there in this field. That's a big thing. You know, we like to see more and more radio shows or more and more TV shows, because with every show or radio show or TV show, there is that more exposure that we're going to get out there and more awareness, I think, that people will have to this thing. That's really important.
And I think your show was definitely ahead of its time, and it needs to be brought to people's attention. So.
Thank you so much. You know, I think you have to look back and not look back with, you know, anger or, you know, disdain. You just sort of say, okay, how can we make it better now? And now with the proper means, you're right, and the proper channels, I think the time has come. And its time has come, perhaps, you know? And also, I mean, I've learned so much as well. I think I've learned so much in the last time, between the show and now, and just from all the other shows that I've watched. I've gained an amazing amount of knowledge, you know, and learned so much from so many people.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, I know Doug will agree with me on this. You know, since we started doing this this project, I mean, the amount of knowledge we have now as opposed to when we started doing this thing back in, like, what,
1923.
It was a long time ago.
You know, it's literally dwarfed now. We just know so much more now. It's a different animal. It really is a different animal than it was when we first started doing this thing. So.
Speaking of which, after we get done talking about this stuff, you're going to tell us about protection on a ghost hunt, right?
Oh, I certainly am.
Good, but not yet.
No, hold up.
Okay,
because I want to ask you one thing first.
Oh.
Of course. Ask me many things.
What's John Zaffis like to go on a case with?
He is, as he would say, and I love him, awesome.
Awesome.
John Zaffis is just, you know, talk about, I know you've had him on the show before. He is the most charming, wonderful being. You know, he's just a fantastic, just wonderful energy. And he's so knowledgeable. And I think how I always felt, how we all on the On the Road Ghost Show always felt, was safe with him. Especially going into some of the, you know, more creepy sites, you know, such as the Colonial Inn in Concord or some of the sites in Salem, Massachusetts that just had some really scary energy around them.
Mm-hmm.
You just feel a sense around him that you are, I don't know, protected in this cocoon. You know, he knows his stuff, and he'll at the same time keep you laughing.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, isn't he the best?
He is an absolute ball.
Isn't he the best?
Well, we've never had the pleasure of going on an investigation with him, hopefully yet, let's say.
Oh, but we have indeed met him, and we'll be seeing him again
in a week and a half, 2 weeks, we're going
to
be seeing him again.
Are you going to the Gettysburg thing coming up in 2 weeks?
I so want to. I'm going to be in the area. I'm going to be actually in Annapolis, Maryland then, and I'm going to see if I can make a little road trip up to get up there, because I know he's speaking there, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Well, so even if you don't get to the conference,
call us.
Call us,
because
we're having an after-conference
pub crawl.
Yeah.
Oh, great. I will completely call you.
I don't know if John's going to actually attend, but I know Nathan's going to be on our pub crawl, and I know we're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be...
great.
Yeah. So
delighted.
Especially if you're there at night, we can go there and pub crawl until we see ghosts. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm just a silly girl person. I'm just a little too silly and bubbly.
Oh, I mean,
I love
awesome.
Her.
Well, you know,
she brings the kind of energy to everything that. That they talk about when they say, oh, you've got to be in tune, you've got to be comfortable, you've got to, you know, really be at ease and do your stuff. And I'm talking specifically about ITC,
mm-hmm.
you know, Instrumental Trans Communications. But for some reason I get this energy from you that it's like, you know, you just have it all there and you are so together and can just do these things. So I think we should also bring our ITC stuff.
Yeah, I think
just in case she attracts.
I think something. we should bring the whole cavalry with us, man.
I think Rodev will be there.
Yeah, we'll bring everything down there. I mean, definitely. When we started this thing here about 25 minutes ago, I really do feel better. I was kind of down a little bit. I was kind of burned out. Well, I just worked. I do a 12-hour day on these days, so I come here and I'm like, but I'm actually feeling better. I'm up and moving around here now, and you should see the smile on Doug's face. You should see the smile.
It's true.
This is my goal, because when you think about it, whether it be paranormal or just normal life, we have things that are going to sap our energy, that's going to suck it out, and then other things, other people that are going to rise, you know, raise that vibration and basically... bring you up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
And you've done the same for me, you see?
Really? That's an interesting question I'd like to ask you then, is because how do we do that to you?
You do.
Well, how? Well, how, though? I'm just curious.
How?
Yeah.
How are you? Like right now?
Well, yeah, right now.
Well, it's just, I don't know, I pick up on vibes from you guys, too, and you're fun, and it's conversational, and I think the whole platform here, I love how it's basically, you know, a lot of ways off the cuff, and I just feel very comfortable. And when I feel comfortable, then I think my vibration goes up, and then it's sort of back and forth.
Okay.
I think that's true. I think that's what's happening.
I'm hanging out at a party among friends.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what's happening. That's exactly what seems to be happening.
Well, it's Miller time. We can quit then, right?
We're done. We just leave things
We can just call it a day now. Well, no, that's, you know...
And can I throw the couch out the window?
Yeah, no.
Oh, good.
You have to start with it.
Yes. Only if you can get it into the pool.
Only into the pool? Okay.
You have to do the TV set first, though.
Oh, TV set first.
If you want to be a true rocker...
TV set and then the couch.
Then the couch.
Wow, this is going to be mayhem.
The TV set's the warm-up. Awesome. The TV set's the warm-up, and then you throw the couch out. Very important. Very important.
So when you're hunting with... or when you're on a case, because he doesn't ghost hunt, he goes on John Zaffis goes on cases. When you're on a case with John, he really does only pick, he only has time for people who need a lot of help.
Yeah.
They've got a situation, it's gone out of control, they cannot get their lives back any other way, and they go to John Zaffis and say, John, something's up. I just can't live. Yeah, I can't live like this. This is going on. That's going on. And he becomes convinced that, yes, these people need help, because that's what he does. He helps people. But they need to have his help in order for him to, and they have to convince him of that. And he's got to become convinced. And so he's convinced of a case, and he goes out on a case. And this has got to be pretty, even though he is like one of the funniest people on the planet, there's times when he's absolutely serious about this, and you've got to get this done. He studied for, what, decades?
Decades. Since
being a youngster.
His uncle and aunt, the Warrens.
Right.
He is unbelievable. I mean, one of the best in the world at what he does.
So how much did you learn going out on these things with him? Did you change the way you do your stuff? How did it affect you and what you do now?
He was really instrumental in taking things that you should take seriously, and at the same time having that laughter as a release when there was, you know, the downtime.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically, I think to really... for instance, I mean, he really helped me tremendously. My co-producer at the time, we had sort of a difference of opinion. He was wanting to be more dangerous with things, you know, screw around with Ouija boards, do all of these things that I said, don't go into a place that possibly could have, say, like a inhuman or whatever deemed demonic presence and start playing with this. A natural is crazy. So what John really taught me and taught us, the ones that would listen, was to really have respect for the fact that there are some cases that can be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Though they are, I mean, yes, they are, I'd say, rare in the whole realm of things as far as investigations go. You know, the cases, like you said, that he is taking now because of his time constraints are some diehard serious ones. But it was really to have respect. And also to know your limits and to know when to bring in the big guns, to bring in help. I think that's one thing that I learned tremendously is that, yes, there are ways to protect yourself on your, I'd say, your normal ghost investigation or investigation. And then it obviously gets pushed up a notch when you're dealing with a presence that might be extreme malevolent and very pesky.
Mm-hmm.
So I think... interesting, huh?
Yeah. I think what we're going to do is I want to take a break now.
Yeah, okay.
And I want people to think about this. I want you to think about the ghost investigations that you've gone on, because I think most of our listening audience are ghost hunters, although we do have other folks. But if you've been on one or if you've heard of people who've done this, and have you taken any chances? Have you taken any chances? I want to know. I want you to think about these. And then when we come back from the break, Heather's going to tell us about protecting yourself when you're out on these ghost hunts and when you're doing these investigations. Just get that amount of protection. I mean, it's like bringing that can of off with you on a camping trip.
What an analogy.
On a camping trip.
That's a great analogy.
Why take the chance of getting, you know, any... Well, first of all, just getting bit up, you know, but also... Lyme's disease and stuff like that comes from mosquito bites. Well, hey, similar to a ghost hunt. If you're out there, you could and you're unprotected, you could get a little beat up, but you could also get something a little more serious.
A little more long term, yeah.
And we wanna try and avoid that if possible. So we'll hear about that right after the break.
My name is Adge. I'm a druid from Ireland, and I'm very busy with the Save Tara campaign. We're trying to divert the road that's going to be built, the toll road, away from Tara Hill. So if any of you can help out with this, please go to our website at www.tarascreen.org, and please help us to save the heart of Ireland from having a scar gouged right across it. I believe there are 40 million... Americans that claim Irish descent. This concerns each and every one of you. Please help save Tara, and thank you for listening to Ghostly Talk.
Mm-hmm. Hello there, this is Stacey Allen McGee, founder of the Alternate Reality Center. We'd like to extend a personal invitation to all of the Ghostly Talk audience to come down and visit with us and the people of the past in Upper East Tennessee and Southwest Virginia on any of our 9 different walking tours. You can find out more about us at AppalachianGhostWalks.com, and we hope you're enjoying your time with Ghostly Talk.
I'm still eating.
Well, this is Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug, and that's Scott L. eating.
And I'm Bonnie.
Actual audio of me eating.
Wow. And we're back with Heather Lambert, who shares a last name with our very own Scott L.
But not the same bubbly personality.
Right. But she has a bubbly personality, right. And Scott has
not so much.
A not-so-bubbly personality is all.
You guys just keep going. I'm still eating.
I'm glad his mouth is full. Yes.
I love it when he can't talk. That's my favorite time of day.
I've been taking hits here for like the last hour, man.
I love you, Scott.
I'm so funny.
So, well, you know, I was going to say about half an hour ago. Well, go ahead.
The two of you share a last name with incredible artist Chad Lambert.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Chad Lambert.
He does the Mothman comic book series about
cool.
Yeah, about the Mothman in not Pennsylvania. It's in
West Virginia.
Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Yeah.
And he does the comic book series, and so this is like the Lambert trio. If we get the three of you on the phone at the same time,
yeah,
that would be cool.
The L
so
trio.
Does that mean from now on we
Lambert triumvirate?
Triumvirate.
Does that mean we have to refer to her as Heather L now?
Heather L, you now
Heather L.
You have to be Heather L now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Heather L. You know, it's funny because that's my married name. I was Heather Tobin before, and it took me a while to get used to being. Not married, but yeah. Used to my last name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my husband kept correcting me because you're Heather Lambert now. So it's finally in my skull that's who I am. I'm Heather Lambert.
So if you say, hey, Miss Lambert or Ms. Lambert or Mrs. Lambert, now you know, oh, hey, wait, no, that's me. I have to turn around.
It was
now.
Before I just had this really blank stare.
Obviously, you're talking to someone else.
Talking to.
Yes. Wow. Well.
Now it's me.
And your husband's name is his first name Chad? Yes or no?
It's not.
Oh well.
It's Ken. Like the Ken doll.
Wow. There you go.
The Ken doll.
Well,
it's getting weirder and weirder by the second.
Are there any other Tobins that we might introduce to Chad Lambert? Or is Chad married? Chad might be married.
Chad's married.
Oh, he's married. Never mind. Sorry, Mrs.
Lambert.
Darn.
I'm not allowed to swear. Darn.
Right.
Oh. The other Tobin sisters are married off. They're married off and living in Annapolis and Alexandria, Virginia.
Well,
other very active
very areas. Haunted cities. Yeah, this
totally.
Is...
Totally.
Wow, that's insane. That's pretty cool. Well, okay. I'm going on a ghost hunt. Well, I don't have a plan right now, but, you know, I do
You're
these
going
things.
On a ghost hunt.
But I'm going on a ghost hunt. And I have been on ghost hunts in very, very creepy places. Places that do have evil connotations, evil feelings. And we had just gotten done talking again about one of our favorite places called Savage House is the one place that springs to mind. Well, it's no longer there. It's now torn down, but it was called Savage House. That's what we all called it. And it was in, Belleville, Michigan?
Wow.
I think, and it was very dark, very on the dark side of the force, and it would have been a place where I think I probably would have been, I think we were fortunate
mm-hmm.
we were fortunate because we've suffered no ill effects. But now that I read more, and I've read, well, I don't, now that I read more about, you know, these darker things, especially John Zaffis's book, which I'm reading, currently reading, I think we were fortunate. What should I have done, and what should I do in the future to protect me, or to throw up a level of protection so that there's not a chance of me getting attacked?
Okay. And again, nothing. You know, the first thing that you have to realize is that confidence and self-assuredness going in there. You know, that's very important. It's all about intention. That's the first thing, and that sounds kind of subjective, but intention. And literally, it's going to sound kind of new agey, but affirming that before you go into any place, saying that I am safe and I will continue to be safe in whatever situation I encounter. So you see, you're setting up your mind. Affirmation, that's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, too, is that, and I see this a lot of people investigating, that some it's the need to be grounded and emotionally bound before a ghost hunt. You know, you have to be honest with yourself. You know, are you prepared physically, emotionally, spiritually for an investigation? You know, unwanted energies are going to glom onto you if you're vulnerable. You know, for example, like if you're hungover, or say you're really in a depressed space. I mean, you could potentially attract that negative energy. You know, or I should say, harmful energy. And it may not be the best time to investigate.
Well, it's a weakened state of mind, obviously. I mean, you're 100%. You're weak.
You're weak. And again, I mean, not that. And we're talking about entities or about, I don't know, just could even be a grumpy, cranky spirit or ghost that really attracts itself to people that are going in with that, you know, that mirrored feeling of grumpiness and crankiness.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be careful of that. And I learned it the hard way. I know that in my investigations, when I went in, not in the best, whether I was physically or mentally, you know, just off, I seemed to feel the presence of darker things. And some of them seemed to sort of, I don't know, I felt like they glommed on to me and I had to sort of cleanse after it, which I'll get into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also, you know, if you're on any medications that you're taking that are going to affect your judgment, or increase your vulnerability, you know, like, or do they make you drowsy? Things like that. And that's why you have to be as clear as possible, I think, to your best ability.
So you wouldn't suggest dropping a Percocet before you go out on an investigation, then, correct?
So when Rush Limbaugh calls us,
wow, go for it.
I want to go on a ghost hunt with you.
I need a Percocet first.
And we'll be like, Rush, it's probably not the best idea of today.
Because Heather L. said, no, you can't do that.
Do not do that. What you do it in minute doses or be an addict so that it doesn't bother you too much. I'm terrible.
That's true. You can just go the entire opposite way.
Well, yeah.
I don't care what I get into.
You don't care what it is. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, there's a pill for that. Yeah.
There's a pill for that.
Yeah. Oh, I have a demonic haunting thing attached to me. I'll just take another Percocet. I'll be okay. So
that might just explain drug use right there.
But
right?
In some cases. But yeah. I think that this is a valuable lesson because if you are scheduled to go on a ghost hunt, and something happens and you need to get a prescription and you take your prescription, you may want to opt out of that.
Yes. It,
depending on if it's a mood altering, you know, I mean, if it's something that's going to potentially weaken your body's natural defenses to things, you may want to consider opting out of that ghost hunt. And then if you go to your fellow ghost hunters and you say, you know what, I had to get a prescription from the doctor, and I've been taking it. I've got, you know, just 4 more days. But the thing is right now I can't go on this ghost hunt with you. Your fellow ghost hunters would be actually honoring you and respecting you if they said, okay, there's another time, rather than say, oh, you can come. It would be best of them to acknowledge it and say, okay, you know what, you're right. There will be other ghost hunts.
That's right, exactly. And I think it's, in a way, it can be a good test of the team or group that you're hooked up with. You know, because if you're met with resistance and you're coming, you know, you're coming to them in all honesty and saying, hey, look, right now I'm not up for this. And I could, if anything, be a detriment to the group's maybe psychic well-being. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you want people that are going to, like you said, they're going to respect you. And any type of investigation team, even if it's two people, you have to have that bond. You have honesty and open communication. It's crucial. I mean, you see on the shows, you see when things, communication breaks down, what can happen. Things can go sour fast.
Mm.
So that's why it's so important. And I think lines of communication have to be very clear.
Well, yeah, I mean, go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, not at all, not at all. No, not only with the paranormal, but with your fellow humans, you know.
Why? Oh boy, that's a challenge here.
Challenge, get it?
Because I mean, if somebody came to me and said, "Well, I know Bonnie, you get those headache things,
migraines.
Mm-hmm. When you're on that medicine, you're just out to the world. The whole world has absolutely no clue where Bonnie is.
I wouldn't be going anywhere.
You don't go or do anything.
I am in a comatose position in a dark room.
Right. So
you poor sweetie.
So that's the kind of thing where we wouldn't even have the opportunity to try and talk you into.
Right. Exactly.
But if there is something that happens and you're on a prescription and you called me up and said, "Well, you know, I don't think I'm going to go because, you know, I'm on medication, you know, prescribed medication." I think I might say, I would try. I mean, I would say, like, "Are you sure? Because, you know, we've been planning this for 3 weeks or whatever." But I don't think I would force you to go. I mean, I would just,
right.
You know.
No, you would try to guilt me into going.
Well, when I do that, I do indeed.
You're really good at that. I could sever my leg, and you would try and guilt me into going on.
I have done that. The last time she severed her leg, I told her, I said, "Oh, but Bonnie, you know, this is a haunted house."
You did, however, do that when I cracked my tailbone.
Well, that's true.
So funny.
I am bad about that part. But I still respect and honor you, Bonnie. So.
Oh, God. I'm getting
and
sick.
And I love you, Doug.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm feeling lots of love. Very good.
Well, here's a question.
Yeah.
I have a question for you concerning this, because as you can see here with our crew, Heather, we tend to bust each other's chops more than 400 times a show, right?
It's just necessary good stuff.
Okay, well, that's exactly what I was going to ask you, is if we're on our way to an investigation, for example, and, you know, our way there, I decided to jab Bonnie a few times with a few jokes here and there, that won't, I mean, what I'm trying, I mean, if I'm even phrasing this correctly, would that weaken her in any ways? We're just having fun, more or less.
No,
that's what you do.
I'll say something, if anything. It's all about intention, okay? And as it's really great. It's one of my favorite authors, and he's actually a Wiccan practitioner, Christopher Penzack. He's written a lot of books, and I love him. And he always says, in the whole realm of, you know, protection against unwanted energies,
mm-hmm.
that laughter is the best medicine. Those jabs, you know, that's a bonding thing. That's a good thing. I think if anything, it lets off steam, too, before an investigation where you're going to have to be quiet,
mm-hmm.
you know. I think it's very important to stay light.
Okay.
Light prior to an investigation. I do.
Okay.
What's it like when you're... They talk a lot about vibrations.
Yeah.
And they say that, you know, when you higher your vibrations, you're getting closer to the spirit realm or whatever. There's easier times or whatever. What does it, is that, I don't know if I've ever experienced it, see, and I want to know what it feels like. So what, does it feel like happiness and joy and laughter to have higher vibrations, or is that lower, how does that work on the vibration scale? How do you raise your vibrations up to a level where EVPs are clearer or senses and things? Because I just don't know these answers. I know they talk a lot about vibrations, but I don't know how to do this or what it feels like.
I'm so glad you asked this question, because really it also helps as far as psychic protection and raising vibration. And that is visualization. And even, no matter, it doesn't matter if you're religious or not, it can apply elsewhere. And even if you think it's a load of crap, I will tell you it still works.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You want to raise your vibration quickly. A meditation and a visualization, basically, of think of you basically in this egg of white light, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Surrounding you. Close your eyes. Start with a little meditation. You take a very easy. Here it is. Step to step. Few short breaths, or long breaths, I should say. Few breaths. Close your eyes. Count down from 7 to 1 slowly. And then just imagine yourself and your whole body basically surrounded by, like you're encased in this egg of protection, this egg of white light. And you're going to feel this sense because what you've done is you've taken your brain waves into what's called alpha. And you're raising your vibration so that you're going to be able to experience paranormal phenomenon much more clearly. You've also created a protection shield around you. And you've raised your vibration. And that can feel sort of blissful. It doesn't have to be completely giddy and, it can. it can if you want it to be. But what it does is that your vibration has now been hired. And basically, your brain is operating in alpha, where all of these things, you're a lot more receptive to receiving information and at the same time protecting yourself. Make sense?
Interesting.
Yes, it does.
Interesting. I'm glad I asked that.
And again, and I will say that every workshop that I have attended, and I mean these are with the best of the best, Robert Brown, who's a medium from England, who's incredible,
mm-hmm.
John Holland, John Edward, Suzanne Northrup, these are mediums, but also any paranormal investigators who've led workshops have all talked about that white light.
Yeah.
About envisioning that around you.
That is something I've heard before, yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And you hear it. You hear it over and over. Oh, yeah, the white light, envisioning the white light. And I didn't take it that seriously until I had a few scary experiences, and then I found how effective it was the next time when I went into haunted places that had a really malevolent feel to them. I felt a lot more protected.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot more receptive and a lot more... It's like putting on your night vision goggles. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what that white light... you're sort of recalibrating your brain to be receptive to these subtle energies.
Okay.
Interesting.
Make
sense?
I hope we run that as a... prior to any experiments that we run.
We'll all
stand around in a circle. We'll get naked or down to our skivvies.
Okay, all right.
Well, I object.
You object?
I'm all for streaking. Let's do this.
you do streaking. I'm all
for that. That is not going to raise my vibration.
Oh, okay.
It is going to cause me to lose my lunch, however.
Oh, okay. So we'll forego that one, then.
Okay, so it depends on which circle and who's in the circle.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So, but we'll do the breathe, the several slow, deep breaths.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Count back from breathing.
Count back from 7 to 1,
mm-hmm.
slowly, I presume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then picture ourselves surrounded in an egg shape of white light,
mm-hmm.
and see if the EVPs come out any clearer.
See
if we notice more things while we're on the actual ghost hunt or in the place.
Mm-hmm. I think we should do it in Gettysburg.
Okay.
Try it in Gettysburg. And also, with that meditation as well, when you want to come out of it, you do that meditation shortly before you do any of that investigation. And then when you feel like you have had enough light sort of around you, you can count right back up, 1 to 5, 1 to 10, doesn't matter, and say, okay, I'm coming back, but now I will be able to go in. And you can affirm to yourself, I am protected by this light, and I go into this investigation with, elevated sensitivity, and at the same time, I am protected.
Excellent.
What's good about this is that it's universal. You don't have to, ascribe to any certain religious background. White light's kind of universal.
Okay.
Excellent. I like that. When you go on an investigation with John Zaffis, does he do a thing with everybody at first, or does everybody prepare individually?
You know, he can do either. What's great about John is he's so adaptable.
Mm-hmm.
And he works with your individual, but I know that he has his own, for instance, you know, I think he, with his Catholic faith,
right.
I think to himself, probably says a lot of prayers and certain things, and I believe he wears a cross as well, I'm not sure. But I think in the cases that we went, we sort of all did our individual thing. But I really, what drove it home, though, was the fact that it is important to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to have faith in something. If not in a certain religious thing, then have faith that, yes, you can do this white light meditation and be amply protected. You know, I think that's really important. You know, having faith at something is that you have the ability. It's very empowering to know that you can go and you can control what happens to you to a point, and that you can feel confident and protected. That's important stuff.
It's very important stuff. It's very important stuff.
What about, and we've only got so few minutes now. You talk about crystals and different the properties of crystals and things like that. We've only got very few minutes, but
okay.
I want to ask you about this because when we were at the Mansfield Reformatory, they talked about the crystals in the surrounding area and how that could potentially assist energies in the area and things like that, and hold them or make them stronger, or you know, weaken negative ones, or you know, they talked a lot about energies and crystals.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What would be good on a ghost hunt?
Oh, let me tell you. Top on the list. I need a little time. Black tourmaline. Okay. Black tourmaline has been historically, and also thousands and thousands of years, used as a negativity repellent in the paranormal. That is one of the strongest you can carry, and you can carry it on you, wearing it on a chain or something. It's used in traditional Chinese medicine for its incredible cleansing and purifying properties. And it has been historically, it's just an incredibly powerful, powerful thing to have with you. Another one is amber. Carnelian. You know how a lot of rosaries, you know, people who are Catholic, rosaries are made out of carnelian, which again has tremendous protective properties.
And these are things we should use then.
Well, and now notice though that I don't want to scare any ghosts away. I want the opposite. You know,
right.
So.
You know what? It's exactly. It won't. It won't scare the ghosts away. It's so cute. Won't scare the ghosts away, but it will protect you.
Okay.
It will protect you because again, it's not to scare them away. Because you're not trying to banish them. It's one thing if you went in going, I banish you. You're not trying to do that. But what you are trying to do is use the properties of these minerals. Rocks, minerals, all different crystals, to protect you.
Okay.
And they can also amplify your paranormal experience, but in a good way.
So by being not poisonous, but by being bad for any negative energies that may be floating around,
exactly.
The good energies may have a chance at getting your attention.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because these crystals, again, too, you want to, when you have a crystal, you get one, you clean it off. I know we have a little time, but you rinse it, and you hold it in your hand and have that affirmation that this crystal, basically, please, you know, you even talk to it. Say, please protect me and allow in good energy. And they can be phenomenal. Crystals, and again, it's not all hocus pocus. There's a lot of there's some scientific backing to crystals, which is, oh God, that's a whole other topic.
Well, I hope we get to talk about that on the 22nd. If you happen to be in the area, please consider coming to Gettysburg.
Oh, I so I so intend to come to Gettysburg.
Excellent.
I know we would have a blast, and maybe we'll put
such a blast.
Put some of these to the test. I mean, we can everywhere there is haunted, so.
Oh, it's so haunted.
But we'll have to do it before the pub crawl, because I think after the pub crawl we should
weak.
Not be ghost hunting. We would be weak. We're going to be very weak, yeah.
Very weak.
Cold showering coffee time.
Exactly. It'll be the opposite. Heather, thank you so much.
Thank you for
coming on the show. You absolutely, oh my gosh, we have to get together and try this in Gettysburg, because I'm so excited.
And we'd love to see you back on the show sometime again, Heather, also.
Would love to. I would be delighted. Thank you so much.
Heather, hang on the line for 1 second. We're going to go to break, all right? But just stay on the line, okay? Don't go anywhere. We can't, don't leave us yet. Please don't leave us, Heather.
We'll leave.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break.
Coming up next.
Yes, we've
got Rajesh Singh coming on the phone from India.
India, yeah.
We'll be talking to Rajesh. He's the author of Human Species and Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be on with us next.
Yes. Let's take a quick break. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back.